Listen and stream the all-new Talk Radio Freedom 106.5 for the only talk that matter.
Welcome. It's Freedom 106.5 FM, 3 minutes past 10. And if you're now joining us, welcome, welcome, welcome. This is Carrie V on your mic until 12 noon. And up next, we have Agribusiness Innovation with Jody White. And today we are speaking about Export TT. Jody, what's up? Morning.
Morning. How are you today?
I'm good. I'm good. What's going on?
So today we actually have an interview with a representative from Export TT. Mm-hmm. I mean, everybody with a business always talks about exporting. So let me talk to the people who actually help with exporting. Now, today we have with us Mr. Krisen Maraj from Export TT. And just to let you all know, as a businessman personally, Export TT to me was probably the most efficient government entity that I knew. And I don't get paid for saying that, by the way. from dealing with them since maybe 2016, 2017 to now, you know, it's one of the systems that actually works. And they have worked with me since I was considered a cottage producer, meaning that you have an idea, you have a small machine, and you want to grow. And throughout the course of the program, I'd kind of let everybody know some of the benefits that I was able to get that would have really assisted me with scaling up the operation and reaching foreign markets to the point today. So, I mean, as we go along, of course, callers, you could call in any questions you might have, any input you want to put. Now, Mr. Krisen Maraj is the manager of the capacity building and funding, which is responsible for delivering services and initiatives to reduce constraints companies encounter when attempting to export or enter new markets. He is also responsible for the management of Export TT's Tobago office. He has work experience in various areas, including marketing, finance, and professional development. He has a bachelor's degree in IS systems, management, and a master's in business administration with a specialization in entrepreneurship and innovation from the Arthur Lockjack Graduate School of Business. That's a long resume. Krisen, welcome to the show, Agribusiness Innovation.
Hi, good morning, guys. Welcome. Thanks for having me here.
Welcome, welcome.
So, Carrie, you know, I never asked you. You ever had an idea for a business or an agribusiness or anything related?
Well, the closest thing to agri that I had in my mind, I wanted to do like a kitchen garden. And then when I reap my small crops, Jody, I want to sell it.
All right.
That's the closest.
That is a start, because you know what? Your idea could turn into minimal processing and then trying to reach foreign markets.
So yes.
Krisen today with us might help to open up your eyes as to how we could actually go about doing
it. Right, because I would love to do that.
So Krisen, tell us about Export TT. What is Export TT? What do you guys do?
All right, so Export TT, we are the National Export Facilitation Organization in Trinidad and Tobago. So we are the official export facilitation organization. We are actually an agency under the Ministry of Trade and Industry, and we are charged with generating export growth and diversification in non-energy goods and services sector. Essentially, what we do is we want to increase the number of exports coming out of Trinidad and Tobago, and to improve the export readiness of companies that we have here to have your export-ready products and services. So we are located, our main office is at 151 Charlotte Street. So if you all want to visit, it's like directly opposite the General Hospital. The name of the building is Export House. You'll see the Export House sign there.
The thing is that Export TT, Krisen, you said something there that was interesting. Diversification of non-energy industries. So what types of industries are we talking about? I know the show is agriculture, and you know I'm an agriculture man, but I just want to extend it a little bit. What types of services you see?
Okay, so we're talking about what we see, the majority of our clientele is food and beverage. We also have a lot of clients in household chemicals, personal care items. but it runs the full gamut of local manufacturing. And I say manufacturing because we look at value-added products. So in terms of your show and the listeners of your show, many of you all might have value-added products. So you are in agriculture, and you might be processing your products to some level to manufacture. We could help you, you know, get those products up to scratch and give assistance to get you into the export markets. So it's actually, I mean, Jody is like one of the perfect stories that we have, huh? Because he started from the whole cottage industry development program. So he started from scratch, basically, up to, you know, the big Sawati that he is now.
So let me tell you, one of the things is that there's a common misconception, and many callers into the show, there is an opinion that you have to be somebody in society to benefit from the services of an entity like Exportita. And I am saying to you all that I have benefited, and I am no special person. I have no contacts with anybody. When I first went to Exportita, I just had an idea and maybe a product concept and was now about to launch. I really didn't have anything. And back then they had a cottage program, and that is how I started with them. So if you're listening and you're thinking that, hey, you can't qualify, I want to let you know that you likely can. And Chris will, of course, kind of introduce you to some of the ways you can find more information about it. So don't sit down and think that this is not accessible to you. This is accessible to everybody, and it could help you scale your business and reach the markets that you want to go. So you're talking about increasing and improving the capacity of companies. Is there a minimum size that somebody must have before they come to you?
There isn't a minimum size. The minimum requirement is that you are a registered company, not an individual, because we work with companies, right? And ideally, to access our export improvement services, we would like to see that you are going concern, meaning you do generate revenue from your company and have been doing it consistently for a year or so. So it's not like pure startups, but at the same time, it's not large companies. Once you have a company up and running right now and you generate revenue, come to Exportita, set up a meeting with Exportita. We will talk you through the process and kind of build a action plan of sorts matched to the services that we can offer you based on what is required for you and your company.
Now, one of the things that I would say is, and when I started and I was, you know, getting into it, I had an existing company, like you said, but I actually was able to qualify for grants that assisted me with some certifications to get the facility, you know, ready to export and to actually test the product. Because of course, if you're selling to foreign countries, there are specific tests that you may need to have in order for your product to legally be sold within that company. And some of the grants that are available through Exportita actually help to subsidize the cost of that testing. And there are many that are available. And Kristen, if people want to kind of see what is available for them to access, where can they get that type of information?
So we actually have everything on the website, exportita.co.tt. You'll see it at the drop-down tabs on the top based on what sort of service you're looking for. So if you need funding and grant assistance, for example, look for that tab and drop down. At the same time, if you have problems navigating the website, feel free to reach out to us. Feel free to reach out to Exportita. Now, on the website, you will find information on the services as well as the application forms and everything else. On those links, you will also see the contact numbers for the relevant individuals who will guide you through that process. Okay. Yep.
So for listeners, the hotline numbers are 627-3223 or 625-2257. Or you can WhatsApp us at 306-1065. Maybe you're a producer, you have an idea, you want to kind of ask a couple questions of what can Exportita do for you or accessing some of these services. give us a call. Let's kind of get some of your questions answered as best that we can.
Sure.
Now, Export TT, what types of agribusinesses are you seeing coming to you right now?
We're seeing a lot of companies from the chocolate industry. We've seen a lot of cocoa producers right now. Yeah, chocolate, the exciting
stuff. We spoke about that last week, Jody. We spoke about that.
Just last week. Yeah, last week we spoke about the cocoa industry and chocolate. Mm-hmm. So you've seen a growth in that and trend. Are people interested?
Yeah, because we've seen a lot more persons who want to become chocolatiers and not just sell beans.
I'm kind of curious, though. What kind of age group of people is he getting into that? Is it young people or older people?
So for the chocolatarian part of it, is young people.
So you're seeing a growth in the entrepreneurial spirit in Trinidad in the youth?
Yes, most definitely.
So Carrie, what are you waiting on?
Well, I'm looking to see if I could get some beans and cocoa and start to be a chocolatier, because last week we were speaking about that and I remember a caller called and said that there were young persons in his community, in his area, were looking at getting involved into making chocolate. And you see, we have some of the best beans in the world. The chocolate beans, right? The cocoa, right? We have some of the best cocoa in the world. And now that you said that, now you're putting a little idea in my head, you know. Because I like chocolates. I mean, who better it is to make
chocolate? So listen, there's a lot of support for the cocoa industry through the Cocoa Research Center, through the Cocoa Development Company. Through Export TT, there's a lot of support available for that right now, because chocolate is one of those niche items that we could brand hard. We do have the best quality cocoa, the fine flavor Trinitario cocoa. The flavor profile of our beans is completely different to anything else in the world. Mm-hmm. Even if other countries grow Trinitario, they don't get the same profile that we have.
Kristen, let me ask you a question.
Go ahead, Carrie.
Oh, but I wanted to find out, you know how we have advantages and challenges. What challenges do you know of that is happening now in Export TT that we could probably discuss and see if we could find solutions to?
I mean, there are numerous challenges and everybody will have different challenges. But as we started to kind of go down the road with the chocolate, a challenge that we have there right now is how you export chocolate, because chocolate is a temperature sensitive product, and if that temperature changes, it could cause what's called blooming, which doesn't spoil the chocolate, but it affects the appearance a lot. Like sometimes you might buy chocolate and you see it looking white.
Yes,
that's because the temperature control wasn't correct. Now to get that done, you need to have refrigerated containers to get export happening. You do not get a less than container load refrigerated container shipped. So what we could do is, and what we have to do is, make sure that collaboration happens among all the smaller chocolate producers, identify mutual markets that they could go to, and arrange for them to consolidate one shipment to send it out. So bear that in mind, Carrie, when you do anything, your initial shipments might be done using dry ice and packing air freight.
So let me say that Carrie comes up with a product from her home garden. She started a home garden. She came up with something. She got some land and she started processing a little bit on a bigger scale, but she doesn't know what her options are. She doesn't know how to go about finding people who may want to buy this overseas, or find out if a specific country has a demand for it. Is there anything in Export TT that could help her with?
There's a lot to help her. So we have a research and opportunities department. We have access to some very powerful databases that could identify export market trends, identify what might be the best suited markets for your particular product. And we can drill it down using other databases to actually identify who the buyers are, or who the shipments were consigned to within those high potential markets.
Oh, wait, so you can actually find the exact customer who purchased it before?
We could find who it was consigned to, yes.
Oh, wow. I actually did not know that.
Well, That's good that you now know, and your listeners know as well, because we have a department dedicated to that. So we could, how it works is that we will get a proper description of your product, so we can match it to what is called the HS code, the harmonized system code. That's how we identify products on these databases. We will then look for the movement, for the imports of the product into different markets. So if you say, all right, you want to look at CARICOM, we'll look at the movement of product into CARICOM. We will look at who your country competitors are, because on the broader scale, we can see where they're importing from. And if we identify, say, one or two markets that you want to work on entering, we could drill down there using other databases and other data to actually identify who the buyers are, well, who the consignment is in there.
Oh, okay. All right, Jody, we have to take a break. When we come back, we're going to be discussing more. Guys, don't forget, you can always call us and find out. You, if you want to ask Export TT anything, you can call us on 627-3223 or 625-2257. We will even be taking WhatsApp messages as well. So get into the conversation. We are talking about Export TT. I know you have questions. So then when we come back, we're going to take your calls. Keep it locked.
Talk is streaming at freedom106.5.com.
Welcome back, 22 minutes past 10, and we are here with Agribusiness Innovation with Jody White and Export TT. Welcome back.
So, you know, one of the things that we spoke about, diversification, capacity building, and for those of you, I don't know when last year you'll travel through the Caribbean, you see products at different stages of readiness. When I say different stages of readiness, I'm talking about competitiveness. I mean, the types of packaging that people would do, whether something is packaged in a clear bag with a sticker, whether something is packaged in a full print bag or a pouch or a nice bottle. There are different stages. Kristen at Export TT, y'all help with that or facilitate that capacity building in terms of the packaging side of things?
Most certainly. So we have the co-financing facility, which covers certain export-related activities, which includes package modification. But we actually have a new facility called the labeling and product testing service. This is new, where companies could access up to 80,000 TT to assist with product testing, which is something you alluded to earlier, Judy, as well as labeling to meet the export market requirement. So it's not only mandatory requirements that are required to enter markets, such as how you do your nutritional content and that kind of thing. It's not just that. It's also voluntary standards that might have been developed by the country that would help propel your product, and you could leverage from marketing. Jody, for your product, you'll be familiar with like the non-GMO certification. Right. That's not mandatory by any means, but it certainly will help propel your product in the segment that you're aiming for. There's also the consumer preference that can be catered for this. So this is, even if a standard does not exist, but the society will not accept your product based on maybe the way you package. Like if you have a bottled product, maybe they are custom buying 4 packs rather than 6 packs. So a distributor wouldn't take you unless you have your 4-pack packaging for shelves. This grant will help with that. Just as well with the product modification, it could be just to suit the consumer preference in your export market. We saw real life examples where products were perfect for distributors, but they couldn't take it simply based on the color. Certain colors mean different things in different markets. This is a real example. I saw it in my own eyes. I was at the meeting. They were like, your price is right, your product is right, but we just simply can't take it till it changes the color. Now, what? That particular company, they did change the color of the products, and they got into that export market. And great for them, but it's sort of crazy, the kind of requirements that are there. So you have to meet your mandatory requirements. You have to, right?
So it's like a list.
But
you have to check your list, and you have to check it twice.
You start with your mandatory to make sure you have your food safety requirements and all your product requirements to enter your market. But then beyond that, now when you start to talk to individual distributors, they're going to have their own requirements, and they're going to have their requirements based on their customers who they know.
Oh, wow.
You know, I'm going to tell you a story, right? And I can't call names, but this is a true story. There was a large local company that wanted to enter a Latin American market. But the name of the product was close to a colloquial word that was, let's just say it's a bad word.
Right.
And because they didn't do enough market research, when it entered that country, it wasn't, let's just say it wasn't received very well. So, I mean, I think things about doing the market research, you know, Export ET could help with that. I think that that is something that really works well. And anybody looking to export, you really need to do the proper market research. And one of the things is languages across territories is such a huge deal, especially if they need to go from English to Spanish. Google Translate is not enough. It puts you in real trouble.
And you know, it's only we Trinidadians. We just, I don't think, man, we will still eat it. But, Kristen, I want to ask you, what is Trinidad's biggest export?
Biggest non-energy export?
Yeah.
The biggest non-energy export is in food and beverage. Somewhere between cereal and soft drinks.
Wow. Cereal and soft drinks.
Yeah.
Not even chocolate.
We don't eat a lot of cereal, but the rest of the world does, apparently.
Wow. Okay, and the energy?
I honestly can't answer that with any level of confidence. Oh. I don't know.
Because in my... I thought it was petroleum gas, and like acrylic, alcohol, ammonia, crude. But I thought it was that. Because, I mean, we think we have the gas. Mm-hmm. We think we have it because, I mean, I've been hearing for the past few weeks that, you know, the gas and the oil and everything is going to run out soon. And, you know, that kind of doom and gloom kind of painting. So I just wanted to hear from you, you know, like being in that field, like what is the biggest export that you see? But then again, it's conflicts and conflicts and soft drink.
But I mean, like it seems like the food and beverage, it would be like snacks, it'll be cereals, soft drinks. We export quite a lot of beer for a small country,
right?
As well,
but
and I mean, I guess we could call names. You all know that Angostura bitters is like the most universal name that we have been exported.
But our local foods, so let's say snacks. Let's narrow it down for like our snacks. So you see, like when we go to Bago, we get the red mango and the banana ball and sugar cake, that kind of thing. How is the export on those stuff, on our local stuff that we make here?
The export on the indigenous sweets is not where it could be right now.
Oh.
And I'm real happy you raised this question because we have an ongoing project with Tobago right now, the Tobago Indigenous Sweets Project, where we're bringing them, we're working with companies to standardize the product, to standardize their packaging, to improve their marketability, and to help with the flavor profile and that type of innovation with companies. We have 10 companies on board on that Tobago project. And very soon, in the upcoming months, you're going to see those products on shelves looking really good.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to get them exported.
Oh, okay.
Because we export enough for the candy bars and that kind of thing. We need to get our own stuff out now.
Right. But what
you're saying, Kristen, is that people are always talking about that Trinidad are not doing anything to diversify. What you're telling us now is that you guys are actually making efforts to boost diversification. That's what they're telling us here today.
That's what we do, yes.
So one day I might go America and see a Tobago fudge in a nice package on our shelf somewhere.
Yeah, possibly this year.
It had to be a nice packaging too, because honestly, I hope it doesn't take out of our culture in terms of like our colors. So like when we go America or we go Alaska, let me say Alaska, we go Alaska, I would say, God, I could do it a nice Trini fudge. But if I go in Alaska grocery and I see a fudge that's not looking Trini-ish, I mightn't buy it, you know.
No, I don't know how familiar you are with Tobago companies, but their island branding is strong and it will say Tobago.
Those packages. Good. And that's all that I want to know.
Yeah. Because, I mean, the thing is to make it marketable to the foreign market. So we want sales through exports, and we also want exports in that cruise ships are coming back to the country. We want people to come, see the product, buy it, take it on the cruise ships, carry it home, like it so much that they had to find a way to order it. Mm. And we also given assistance with Tobago companies with the e-commerce part of it so that these people in Europe or the US or wherever can order this product that they see. So it is a pilot project in that there are only 10 companies there right now.
Right.
But once we see successes from this, this definitely will continue. And it might expand into other indigenous sweets outside of what we have in Tobago.
Right, nice.
You know, you rang a bell and Carrie brought up Alaska. I want to give an actual example from Alaska.
Mm-hmm.
Funny enough, my honeymoon was in Alaska, in the cools. Listen, nice. Alaska, just like what Kristen is describing with the Tobago branding and the Tobago sweets, Alaska has something called birch syrup, which is like a maple syrup. It comes from a sap, from a tree.
Mm.
And the branding of this birch syrup, when you go from store to store, area to area, is pretty stable and developed. Like they kind of got together and they did just what he said. They kind of worked on what they wanted to look like, the different products are available in souvenir stores. And they got this birch syrup up to a level where you can find birch syrup snacks and birch syrups in bottles. And it's so developed and it's such a tourist product that's what they're actually known for. It would be nice to actually see Tobago get some of the local items, you know, and get a brand that's like that. So, Kristen, if you all are doing that from Export TT, I think that's good news, because that's what we want. Because a lot of people, they need the assistance to help them develop to get to that next stage. You know, you want people beyond just a fudge in a clay bag. You want to see the coconut sweets in something different, a different shape. You know, even when you go through the Caribbean and you see fudge in a box with a nice story on it, if we could get Tobago to something like that, that is terrific, I think, for the country.
It would be. It would be nice to see our flag somewhere in the corner on a little clear plastic there just waving at us. But, Crystal, let me ask you before you answer. What do we import the most?
What do we import the most?
Besides oil. And fuel.
What do we import the most? I can't say offhand, but what we do import the most of is food.
Wow.
Cereals is one of the biggest imports, but we're not talking about cereals in terms of cornflakes. Cereals in terms of oats, rice, and
oats. In that category. Okay.
Yeah, so because when you say that's why.
When you say cereal, people thinking cornflakes, you know, just like me, you know.
Nah.
All right.
So when I was talking about cereal exports, I was talking about cornflakes.
No.
Because remember we'd import cereals to make feeds for chickens and all these animals.
Yeah.
Importation is pretty large into the country right now.
Right.
Yeah. And that's why the work that's being done through programs like this and the kind of stuff that Jody is doing continuously is very important, because we can produce our own cereals. We can produce our own substitutes or the actual products that we import right now. There's so much cassava that we could use locally right now.
Mm. Wow.
We don't need to import it from Ghana.
But why then, if we are producing so much here, why are we still going out there to get?
I would ask Jody to take on that question.
You know, we produce here, but a lot of times the cost structure of manufacturing certain items down here is higher than other countries. And sometimes it's because it's an infant industry versus another country.
Mm.
Or that country may not have as many protectionist laws. So, for instance, if you consider cassava in Africa, the average wage rate is extremely low. So the cost of production is a lot lower. They may also have less protectionist laws on what you could use on the lands. And so many different things. So the cost structure of producing somewhere else may actually be lower than here. And it will take time before the capacity is built up enough in order for us to be able to compete sufficiently on price.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes some items are available in other countries based on the weather patterns.
Mm-hmm.
So a couple different items. But it takes time and it takes an investment from somebody to be able to really develop that capacity of different items down here.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
So, Carrie, we were talking about how we have the best chocolate in the world and the finest flavor.
Mm-hmm.
But do you know that the majority of cheaper chocolate snacks is not made with our chocolate?
What?
Because it costs less to get the chocolate from places like, again, Ghana, than to use our own chocolate.
Wow.
Carrie, do you know some of the people in Ghana who actually pick cocoa do not know what we do with cocoa? They do not know what chocolate is.
Why? What is wrong with us?
they've never been exposed to it. So they know cocoa to whatever they do. But they say, what people do with what it? People... So if you show them a chocolate bar, it's something that's totally different.
Wow. That is...
It is.
Yeah.
That is very surprising.
So one of the things that Export TT has done for me as well is that I've actually been able to grow the business by going to different trade shows in different territories. I was able to actually go to one in Argentina. I went to one in Miami. And you get exposed to buyers, other products, different trends. And there is nothing like being in country to actually gather information on what you can do. So, you know, you might have land, you might have a garden, you might be a processor and you have capabilities, but you don't know exactly what is happening in other territories. You have the internet, yes, but sometimes being in country helps because you set up a booth, somebody comes to you and says, hey, you know, I like this seasoning that you do, but you know, in this country, basil seasoning is the biggest thing. Maybe you could look at that. And I think that Kristen, you all have some sort of a service as well, and I think I got as we said for that trade shows, right?
Yeah, we do. So is it falls under the co-financing service, which covers export related activities, which includes trade show attendance. So under co-financing, companies could access up to 60,000 TT annually for certain export related activities, including trade show attendance, shipping of samples, company registration, website and e-commerce development, which is something that we want to push hard because we need to get some more B2C sales online. Jody, you know the thing. So,
you know, when I went to Argentina, I was with somebody from Export TT, and of course Argentina is Spanish. And yes, I could talk a little bit of Spanish. And I could talk to people a little bit, and I remember a buyer coming up to me and the conversation just went too far and I had to look at somebody from Export TT and be like, hey, come on, help me. So you actually sent somebody who was bilingual with me to actually, well, y'all did have a presence at the trade show and actually helped me there.
So for the core financing, this is if you want to go on your own trade show, like a not Export TT led trade show, but if you identify a trade show that makes sense for your company, you could get the assistance, your registration to attend or to like have your booth rental kind of thing. We have the Export TT led missions as well, where we'll have Export TT staff there, which is different and separate and apart to what we're talking about here with the co-financing. With the co-financing, I'm talking about if any of your listeners right now are interested in trade shows, you could just straight up start working on this application for assistance for the co-financing to attend there. Whether or not is an Export TT led trade show, like the one that you were talking about in Argentina.
Kristen, I'm going to ask you something again, and I know the answer. Sometimes when I call a government agency, I can't get an answer when they call. I can't get somebody to pick up the phone. When we call Export TT, we get answers when we call?
Of course. We are very customer centric.
And that's one of the things I want to tell the listeners is that when you call Export TT, you actually get an answer on the phone. You get somebody who's there to answer and say, hey, let me direct your call, and you get somebody at the other line, which is a different experience. And I've said it publicly over the last few years. If you are a business person, you are a manufacturer, you want to be an exporter, you are exporting now and want to grow, it is one of the agencies that actually works. So it's good to actually explore the services that are offered because it will benefit you. In fact, I believe I would have gotten assistance with purchasing equipment as well at some point in time to help me scale. Because, I mean, manufacturing equipment at cheap, Carrie.
When you put manufacturing and equipment in one sentence, that's expensive alone. Right? And Jody, I'm glad you said what you said about Export TT, where if someone calls, someone will answer. And, you know, things would happen because, you know, I mean, it's about other places that, you know, when you call, you're calling for 3 hours and 4 hours and you ain't get through, you know? But I'm really glad that you shed some light on that, because I know a lot of callers would be, not callers, listeners, sorry, would be wondering, if I call Export TT, would I be able to get through or get some assistance? You know, and I want to say thanks for telling us that, Jody, and of course, Export TT, because we would really want to know, hey, I have an idea, I have a business, I want to find out from Export TT how I can do this, how I can do that. But then I don't want to wait 2.5 hours on the phone to get on to someone, you know? But thank you so much for that. But we got to take a break. When we come back, it's much more. Guys, we are accepting your calls. Our numbers are 627-3223, 625-2257. If you have a business, you want to find out anything from Export TT, they are here and they are willing to take your call. You can even send me a WhatsApp message as well. But in the meantime, we are going to take a break. When we come back, it's much more. So keep it locked.
Talk is streaming at freedom106.5.com.
10:45 a.m., guys, and that was your time check. We are back with Jody White on Agribusiness Innovation and our guest, Kristen from Export TT. Welcome back.
So, you know, we were talking about equipment, and equipment is such an expensive thing, and people don't realize. What are those blenders that you would use to grind seasoning on a, not even a massive scale, just a commercial scale, is like 50,000 TT. These things are cheap. They're expensive. So, you know, somebody carry you have your garden and you want to start doing seasoning, you had to find that money.
Mm-hmm.
It's not easy. And it was, honestly, it was hard for me. And we would have accessed some of the grant services through Export TT that would have helped us to scale. And without it, honestly, I couldn't find that money. I mean, it's a chicken and egg situation.
Yeah.
You need the scale to make the money, but you need the money to make the scale. So it's difficult. So, Kristen, I mean, we spoke about a lot of services that you guys do. I mean, give us a little overview of the different things.
Sure. Because, yeah, we did speak about a lot of services. So let me see if I could just summarize the majority of what we do here for the listeners. And what I'll do as well is I'll leave my email address if anybody wants to contact me after.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So we assist companies with export market entry. So that's like to actually get you there when you have your export-ready product. We give assistance for that. We have your trade missions and these kinds of things. We give assistance with your production capacity. So Jody spoke about equipment and how he was able to get some support there. We give support with innovation as well, right? All of this is part of building your export readiness. So the co-financing facility that we offer is something where we started to talk about trade show assistance and that kind of thing. Co-financing is a service that we have where you could offset certain export-related activities, 50% of the cost to a limit of 60,000 annually. And some of these market entry activities include website development, shipping of samples, product testing, which we also cover elsewhere, trade show participation, your intellectual property registration, trademark registration. That's very important. When you start to export, don't let anybody take your brand. And your product or company registration overseas. So then we also have the research and development facility. So this is where we give some support with innovation. We spoke about how we're seeing more and more innovative products, not just locally, but regionally and internationally. And to compete, we need to have innovative products out there. If anyone listening here right now has an idea for a new product that you could create from your agri activities, there's a research and development facility. What this is that it could assist with new product or service delivery. 50% of the cost, again, not done, to a limit of 750,000 DT. This is like the biggest grant that we offer at Export DT is for innovation. It covers the technical cost of getting this new product developed. So what this means is it wouldn't cover your production equipment, but there's something else for that. It will cover getting that work done to have your consultancy in place, get your testing done, have your overall development and the technical costs to have at least up to a prototype available. There's a phase three to that service where you could get assistance to commercialize what you created in that coming out to that RDF. And you could get up to 150,000 TT to market the product that you created there. In terms of equipment, there's a grant fund facility. The grant fund facility is specifically for production equipment. It covers 50% to a limit of 250,000 for the production equipment that you might need to get your agro-processing up and running or improved. This would apply to if you want it improved either for the export market or if you want it for import substitution, if you want to be able to compete with some of those things that we spoke about earlier, that imported competition. And on that note, the grant fund facility has been expanded for those who manufacture alternatives to wheat flour. So those manufacturers who do the alternative to wheat flour could access up to 340,000. It's actually more than other types of companies can access. So that's something to bear in mind. It is new. It is available. We're talking about, so for that, for wheat flour is 75%, not 50%, to a limit of 340,000.
We're saying, not to give people my competition ideas, but if you're looking to make cassava flour, there's a grant that's available. And again, we've been talking about diversification. If you believe you have the idea, you believe you have the capability, it's there.
Yep. I like the idea of making cassava flour, you know. I feel like
everybody who listened,
I feel I should get into that. I don't mind making cassava flour.
One out of the three people in this chat could probably give you some assistance.
But not a problem. Guys, you can call us right now, 627-3223-625-2257. We are with Export TT. I know you have a lot of questions. I know you have a business that you want to get out there, but you don't know how to. Export TT are the persons who can help you. Yeah? So you can even send me a WhatsApp message as well on 306-1065. But I really want to get into the cocoa and the chocolate croissant, because last week when we were discussing it, a lot of persons called and mentioned that we have so many cocoa fields out there, but they don't know who to turn to. Even persons had land. So any advice you have for persons like that, or what avenues they could take, or how they can get in touch with you all to, I don't know, maybe try to get the cocoa industry back up and probably sell chocolates. But before we go with that, we have a call. Let's see who's there. Hi, good morning. Wrong one. Let me see who's there. Okay, well, they probably cut off. But you can call me back. 627-3223-625-2257. Kristen, do you have any advice for anyone who would like to get back into that industry again?
Yes. Go to the Cocoa Research Center,
mm-hmm,
at URI. Firstly, they will help you with the propagation of the correct strains that you need. There's the largest cocoa data bank there. There's great support that is provided by the Cocoa Research Center. And there's also the Cocoa Development Company of Trinidad and Tobago. Those are the folks that are most hands-on with the cocoa industry that could give the support that is required. What we could do is, I don't have the contact info offhand, but I could get it to you all and you can find a way to send it off to whoever was inquiring about it.
Where is the Cocoa Development Company? Where is that?
Chaguanas.
In Chaguanas. Any specific area in Chaguanas you can share with us? Not offhand.
I can't remember. I mean, I know how to get to it. I can't remember the name of the street.
It's just like me. Yeah. I can't give directions either.
Yeah. But is, Chaguanas proper.
Yeah. So. But I mean.
I want to ask, are there any export is something that is always, it's like the gold standard. People always say, I want to make something and I want to export. But I always feel that there are oftentimes situations where people should not, or maybe they are not ready to take that step. Kristen, you have any input on that?
Yes. Do not try to export, or if you go to trade shows or trade missions, if you know you cannot satisfy an order, don't take it. If somebody asking for a container load and you cannot satisfy that shipment, not only will you lose that customer for life, that customer knows everybody in the industry, in that country, you will lose a country for life.
Oh my gosh.
And beyond that, it makes Trinidad and Tobago look bad, because some of these people will be the first time that they interacting with a Trinidad and Tobago company. And if their peers come to them and say, hey, don't take anything from Trinidad and Tobago companies, they can't satisfy your order.
Oh gosh.
And they mess up, you know, your supply chain.
Guys, we have a call. Let's take it really quickly. Hi, good morning, you're live.
Morning. How are you all this morning?
We're good. What's up?
Good.
Thank God for the health and strength. I heard your favorite program this morning again with Christian and I just want to ask your host, speaking about cocoa.
Mm-hmm.
Have you all, anybody ever mentioned the cocoa stick you used to make long time? I am 80 years old now, and the cocoa stick you used to make, and you grate it and put it in hot water with Quick Biscuit. To make a cocoa tea with Quick Biscuit and have that as a meal? You don't know about that?
No, I never heard about that before.
We have people exporting that right now.
That's right.
Yeah, they have the dry cocoa. The old folks used to make it home, and you grate it with the hot water, and you put some the yellow salt butter you used to buy in the little Chinese shop.
Mm-hmm.
And your hot cocoa, your salt butter, and your Quick Biscuit, and you have a complete meal. Nobody knows about that. And the old time one, the drink, you call Bosco.
Ah, all right. So,
you must find out about those and then make it interesting.
All right.
Nice program, and have a pleasant day, y'all. Christian, all the best.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, the best.
But Jody, you say people exporting that right now then?
Christian, tell them some about it now. I know people exporting that one.
So, the Trinidad Tobago Fine Cocoa Company, they have something called the Chocolate Box in Hilton. They have a cocoa stick.
Yeah.
That is being exported in a smaller way. B2C sales, and they are working on sending shipments it out. It's not as traditional as what the caller had called about, where you do it yourself. It's kind of like everything in one, but it's kind of emulating that traditional cocoa stick. And let me tell you something about that cocoa tea that the caller called about. Nothing is better than that.
Of course not.
Nothing is better than that. Like when they get that cocoa, they integrate. That's the greatest. We also export that, by the way.
There's a manufacturer out of Tamana, I believe, that actually does do it on a small scale, and they've had some regional exports of it. Nothing too large, but it's still a start, and it shows the business innovation that has come out of it. It's from being just something you might pick up at the market to being in a proper package and being able to ship this overseas with a proper brand.
Yeah.
It is the level of agri-innovation that we actually see in here. One of the things that I was going to get into before with not being ready is that export doesn't mean greater profits. Many times exports are something that are actually lower profit sales. And if you are somebody that wants to get into export, I wanted to make sure that you could fully supply the local market before looking for the foreign market, because it's very easy, as he said, to get a foreign order, but then they can't supply it. And what will be known as is what they call a sample shipper. They send me a small amount and I send you an order and they can't fulfill it anymore.
Make
sure you have the capacity, make sure you have the raw materials, and understand that companies that export tend to price it a bit lower to cover a variable cost and make a contribution towards your fixed costs. Make sure you're ready. You could fully supply your local market before you get into a foreign market, because foreign markets are further away. You know, it's not easy to start a car and just drive to a supermarket and fix a shelf. It's different.
It's different. And you don't want to cannibalize your own local market. If you try to take everything and fill your export order, you can end up losing your local customers.
Your local customers, wow.
In my case, my market was overseas. I didn't have as much of a market down here as I had those types of customers as abroad. So that's why export worked better for me with the nature of the item.
Yep.
It was an item that catered to people with particular illnesses. And so the market size for that down here is pretty small, but the market size of that in a 300 million population country is much larger. So that's why for me it worked a bit better from earlier on. So, Christian, we're coming to the end.
Give us your closing remarks, any information about Export TT you want to share.
So the closing remarks is, the road to exporting is a process. You wouldn't tomorrow wake up and decide you're an exporter and start exporting. It might have worked maybe for like two people in history. It is a process that you have to build up to, and it is not easy. It is not easy. Don't think there is an easy process. However, Export TT is here to give us the entire journey, and there's assistance available from becoming export ready, becoming a first time exporter, to actually support all the way up to when you are an established exporter. We have the resources there, and yeah, I'll just implore everybody to reach out to Export TT before you try to just get to the export market on your own.
You want to tell us your email address or even a contact number, anyone that can reach you on?
Sure. So my email address is cmaharaj, @exportTT.co.tt. And the contact number, well, my extension, which I'm trying to read off the wall right now, my extension is 7904. So you could call Export TT, and you could get me at 7904.
Well, Kristen, I want to thank you so much for joining us today in our program. And I hope that we can have you here again so you can tell us
more.
Sure,
I look forward to that.
And Carrie, one quick thing. Kristen was the person who actually answered the phone when I called Export TT the first time in 2017.
What? In 2017? Oh. So you see? Wow.
Well, okay.
All right, thank you so much for joining us. Thank you, Jody White. Until next time.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Guys, that was Jody White with Agribusiness and Innovation. I want to thank you so much for keeping it locked on to Freedom 106.5 FM, which we do every single Thursday from 10 a.m. to 11 a.m.
Talk is streaming at freedom106.5.com.